Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday. That's every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. From 7 o'clock, amen. So telephone, tell a friend that we're on and we have a Bible study. We are the body of Christ. We just come together just to share a word with you, amen. and we come to encourage one another as the body of Christ. We encourage all parts of the body. So we do thank you for tuning in. I'm going to, we are New Beginnings Ministry. We're going to be sitting in for Pastor Dawn Mixon, who is not able to come on this evening. So we're sitting in for her, and we're praying that all is well on her end. Amen. And as we go through our normal routine, we are going to have prayer. After we have prayer, then we're going to dive into the scripture. And the scripture this evening is coming from Galatians 2:15-20. Galatians 2:15-20. It's kind of interesting. We're coming out of the library today. This is where we first started originally, So it feels kind of funny, or awkward, or unusual sitting in this room. Being that this is the beginning of the inception of New Beginnings and Blog Talk Radio. So it really feels kind of awkward and kind of good, amen? So if we are communicating to you and you are not able to hear us, we're in a large room, so please let us know so that we can make that adjustment so that the word can go out. It's clear, amen? It is clear and audible. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for another opportunity to feed on your word. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, Father, that you would open our eyes, Heavenly Father, and give us clarity as we feed on your word today. Give us understanding, Heavenly Father. You said in all things that we must gain understanding. We just don't want to come and share your word, Heavenly Father, out of a vain talk, but let it be clear and let it be understanding to the point, Father, that we as the body of Christ, we can use your word and we can run on telling others about your word. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ who died, resurrected, and who is coming back again, Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. And Lord, Father, we ask that you bless the sick and afflicted. We're asking a special prayer, Heavenly Father, for Katrina Holloway, Heavenly Father, who is in the hospital at this time. We ask that you would bless her, Heavenly Father. Lord, we're asking for healing in the name of Jesus. You've given us the authority to speak into those things. And, Father, we come corporately, Heavenly Father. We come corporately. Lord, Father, we come unifying as a body of Christ, praying on her behalf. We pray for healing, Father. And, Lord, Father, we ask for a prayer for others, Heavenly Father, the Dickinson family. And, Lord, we pray for Stuart Hawthorne, who is recovering. And, Lord, Father, there are so many that are on our tongue and on our minds, Father. We thank you for knowing every and each and every one of them, Father. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless them according to their needs. We just honor you, we glorify you. And now, Father, we lay all those things that we ask for, that we said publicly and privately, we lay it at your feet. And we just walk by faith and not by sight. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we ask this in prayer. Amen, amen, amen. As we move on, we're going to, our title this evening is Living by Faith. Living by faith. Amen. And as we go into the scripture from Galatians 2:15, starting off at 2:15, and you know how I like to do things. I like to, as I go through it, I like to open up the mics for discussion. Amen. This is all about growing together. It's not coming and taking over or in charge of what we're doing, but we want to grow together. We each learn from each other. Amen. Amen. So as we move forward, this is our intentions. As we move forward in 2:15, it says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. And 16, it says, even we, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Not by the works of the law. And as we look at this in 2:15, it says, but how far did the rebuke extend? The Jews are rebuking the Gentiles and saying that they are sinners. So if they're saying that they're sinners, they're saying that they are not sinners. The Jews are not sinners, but the Gentiles are the sinners. It's we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. It says, but they're rebuking this. How far is it going to extend? And we look at considerable discussion has been centered on the question as to whether Paul's direct mark to Peter was limited to this verse, or whether in the NIV they continued to the end of the chapter. While it is impossible, it's impossible to determine, it would seem that Paul spoke more about that he was reproving Peter than he was saying in this one sentence. The remaining verse of the chapter, as we began to go with the remaining verse of the chapter, it will develop. And there may be some inconsistencies between Peter's behavior and his belief. So at the same time, we transition into the introduction as we look at chapter 2, and it goes on into chapter 3 and chapter 4, Paul defends the doctrine of the justification of faith. As we go on into 3 and 4, chapters 3 and 4, he's defending the doctrine of the justification of faith. Now, Paul, in his argument, he is addressing that those who were Jews by birth, and he's talking about including Peter. Remember, Peter, he's including Peter and himself, who in spite of their superior advantages were saved by faith. Now, let me say that again. Because of their superior advantages were saved by faith. And what someone might ask, what does it mean by their superior advantages? They were saved by faith. What the author here is saying is, he is saying that their superior advantage, they were saved by faith. The Jews felt that because they were superior, they were more superior than the Gentiles. They were more superior than the Gentiles. And that's why it says here, who in spite of their superior advantages were saved by faith. Remember, the Jews were the chosen people. And at this time, they look at the law, and then they look at because of them being the chosen people, that they were saved and the Gentiles were not saved. So there was a division here going on here. There was a division, and that's why it says who in spite of their superior advantages, they were saved by faith. So why then they were binding the law on the Gentiles as sinners? They were binding the law. They were saying the law that the Gentiles were sinners, that they were sinners, and they were and likewise they were the ones who were saved by faith in Christ. Now, when we go on into 2:16, those of you who have just joined on, and we have a few that just came on, we are in Galatians 2:15 through 21. And then, and it goes on, and I'm going to open up and ask the questions, and we're going to open up and we're going to question this, and I hope that I'm coming through clear since I'm in this large room. So even we knowing that a man is not justified by the words of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And so it goes on and it says that one of the most important letters of the word justified occurs for the first time. Justified occurs by the first time, and justified is a legal term. Justified is a legal term in court. It's a legal term, and it's borrowed from the law in the court. It is borrowed from the law in the court. Again, for those of you that's coming on, that's just coming on, we're in Galatians 2:15-21. Galatians 2:15-21. And we're on verse 16 right now. Okay? So as we're saying that here is justified, it's a legal term, and it's borrowed from the law court. And what it means is, justified, it means to declare righteous. Justified means to declare righteous. It's the opposite of to condemn. Either you're justified or you are condemned. So since people are condemned sinners of God, think about it. Since people are condemned sinners of God and God is holy, how can people be justified? Since people are condemned sinners and God is holy, how can people be justified? So the answer is a general declaration that's a negative tone. It's negatively that man is not justified by observing the law. Justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And so as we go on, this is a strong affirmation of Paul. It's a strong affirmation of what he's saying. And Peter and to Peter and the rest of those who were considered justified by faith. Justification is faith in Jesus Christ. That's basically justification is faith in Jesus Christ. So it follows by a statement in which Peter explained that he had put on this doctrine. He put it to the test. And he validated it by his own experience. You say his own experience is because we know that Paul was a Jew. So he's looking at, because he is a Jew, this is his own experience. And he reaffirms that justification is by faith and not by works. I'm going to open up the mics now. Any comments?
Well, I think also, let me interject, we're talking about Jews who are the chosen people. So anyway, they were also sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, God sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for man's sin. So anyway, having faith in Jesus Christ, not being judgmental, but also spreading the gospel. You can't spread the gospel if you feel that you're purely justified, you're cleansed, and you can't have anything to do with anybody else who you deem to be unclean. So anyway, you have to accept the fact that you are also a sinner who has been saved by faith. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you put yourself in a position where you can spread the gospel to others.
Okay.
It's really a demonstration of love.
Demonstration of love. Okay. Any more comments? Any more comments? Mic's open. Okay, let's continue on. In 17, Galatians 17, 2:17, said, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, just as my brother said. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is Christ therefore the minister of sin? And that's a question mark. Is Christ therefore the minister of sin? And it says, but while we seek to be justified by Christ, we seek to be justified by Christ. We ourselves also are found sinners. And if we are found as sinners, is Christ therefore the minister of sin? And it goes on and says, God forbid. God forbid. Any comments? Paul's argument here is that justification by faith is eliminated. It has eliminated the law. It has eliminated the law. It encouraged sinful living. And what does that mean? It said that means that a person could believe in Christ for salvation and then do as he pleased, having no need to do good works. A person could believe in Christ for salvation and then do as he pleased, having no need to do good works. And what Paul did was he denied it. Angrily, he denied the charges. He denied the charges, and he noted that Christ, the promoter of sin, this is what they're saying, that Christ is the promoter of sin, and it's just on the contrary. If a believer would return to the law after trusting Christ alone for salvation, that law would only demonstrate that he was a sinner, a lawbreaker. And though Paul used the first person, he clearly had Peter in mind when he's thinking about Peter. By his act of withdrawing from the Gentile fellowship was returning to the law. So, justified by faith. Justified by faith. So that means that since I'm justified by faith as a believer, and the argument is here is saying that because I know that I'm justified by faith, that I can go and do anything that I want to do and still be justified by faith. And remember, justified means to be declared righteous. And keep in mind, justified means to be declared righteous. Not condemned, but righteous. Righteous in who? Righteous in Jesus Christ. One might look at this and get a little confused. Christ being the promoter of sin? Being justified? justified by faith? That a man may not be justified by observing the law? Someone can get a little confused by that. Any comments? I chose this, and believe me, when I pulled this up, I was asking, wasn't it a good topic for conversation? A good topic for conversation. And I chose to pull this up simply because I thought it was a good topic. I thought it would be a good topic to talk about in terms of just we being justified by faith, meaning that here we can, when we justify by faith, that means that we can do good works. We can do good works, but that does not mean that we're going to be justified and saved just by doing good works. I'm a good person all of my life.
Yeah, I got what you're saying, brother.
Mm-hmm. Am I coming across a little confusing?
No, because a person can say just what you just now said. There are people out there that can say, I've done good works and I've done this and I've done that, but it's faith that moves God. You know, we're not saved because of any works. We're saved because we have faith in Christ. And
Amen.
And when Paul is saying here, and if, I hope I'm not being confused by the subject, but like when Paul is saying here, but if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is there therefore Christ the minister of
mm-hmm.
sin? And Paul says, God forbid. God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no sin in Christ. And he's letting us know that it's because of our faith, it's our faith in him that gives us justification. Not
mm-hmm.
so much the works. Yes, we do works by Christ, but we do works through Christ.
Amen.
We do works through Christ
exactly.
because we do it on our
exactly.
own anyway. But we
exactly.
do works through Christ. But there's a lot of people that do works and say it is of Christ, but it's their own works.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand where I'm coming from, or if I'm getting it or misgetting
what
you're
exactly
saying.
Right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
You know?
That's like doing something good and feeling that you did it.
Yeah, exactly.
That he's the one. You were the one who did it. It becomes an I statement. Not a God
yeah.
statement, but it becomes an I statement.
Yeah.
And we have
and
to be very, very careful about the I because
yeah.
it's too easy to get caught up into the I statement.
Yes, and look at.
Go ahead.
I'm just thinking and picking back off of what you're saying. And look at this in the Word of God. It says, "See, so many times, those that are listening, people think that great idea or that idea that God give. Well, they don't even think it's God. They think it's them that gets this. Everything that's there's two entities in this journey that we're walking. It's either God or the enemy, God or
mm-hmm.
Satan. And when God, we can't even come to God by ourselves. He draws us. So every
mm-hmm.
even every idea, every thought that is righteous and God, it comes from God, not of our own self. But God, but he expects us to execute it.
Mm-hmm.
When he downloads it in our spirit and in our mind. But a lot of people get it twisted. They think those works and that thought is their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the error comes in at. That's where error comes. That's where the enemy has the opportunity to infiltrate what is good and what is good to make it in error and make it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
It's faith all the way, because it's faith that moves God.
Amen.
It's like just like at the end it says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Yeah, you did. Well, I did this and I did that. You did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you praised me with your lips, but your heart was far from me. Depart from me, work of iniquity. Depart. All right. I'm finished.
You got a question? You got a, somebody, I thought I heard a question in there.
Yes,
yeah,
so
I do.
Did I.
I do. It's me, cuz.
I have
a question. What is this works that you speak of? I thought works was to live in obedience and purpose. It's an action in obedience and purpose, not what
speak
you
up a little bit louder, did you?
I said. My question is, what is your definition of works? Because I thought works was to live in obedience and purpose, your actions in obedience to the scripture and in purpose to God's will. It is not necessarily what you do, but how you believe. Can you help me?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're saying it's not what you do, but how you believe?
No, what I said was I asked you what is the works that you're speaking of, because I thought that works was to live in obedience and purpose, not actually what you do and thoughts that God and Satan give you and when you act on that, but when you acting on God's word. I thought it was that.
I think to a degree there's some truth to that. However, we have to acknowledge, as I said before, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were given a gift by God. The wages of sin is death. He sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for our sin. But we also have responsibility. It's like being given a check for $1 million. You've been given a gift, a check for $1 million, but are you really a millionaire if you don't cash the check? Christ is that $1 million that we were given, the wages of our sin. But do we accept him? That's what we come down to. You can do all these works and stuff like that and saying, I'm doing this, as opposed to saying, I was directed by Christ to do this. Do these works. I'm following God's plan as opposed to being holier than thou. And that's what the Jews were doing prior, saying, I'm the chosen, you're a Gentile, and you're dirty. And you're not spreading the gospel, you're not doing God's work. You're not accepting the gift of Jesus Christ, the price he paid for our sins. Does that make sense? It's just a matter of accepting the gift of Jesus Christ, and that's having faith. That's the purest. You can't pay. You can't, as a human being, a mortal, we cannot pay the price for man's sin. Jesus Christ had to do that. So it's a matter of having faith in man, and then acting on that by spreading the gospel.
So does that make any sense, what he just said?
Yeah, a little.
What part makes Brother John can elaborate on further?
Well, let me see if I understand you correctly. You're saying that we're supposed to live in obedience, and there's a purpose to what we're supposed to do, right?
Right.
Is that what your question is? And what and how I'm sensing that is what I'm saying to if I understand the question correctly, we do live by obedience. We do have a purpose And the difference is that obedience to the law of the world, or is it being obedient in Christ? Our whole purpose, see, in here is it's like someone saying that they're doing things, but they're doing things of Christ, but not believing in Christ. And what Paul is saying here, is that we're justified by faith, is that our faith in whatever we do, it's the faith in believing in Christ and not in just doing it just to be doing it. A person can be obedient and not believe in Christ, in Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but that would be hard.
I'm sorry, I'm getting all kind of static over here. Go ahead.
I just said, yeah, but that would be hard. To be obedient and not believing. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead now.
Okay. I think to be obedient and not believe in Jesus Christ, I think you would. Why, if you didn't believe in Jesus Christ, why would you read His word? Then, therefore, how could you be obedient? I think that if you live in obedience and purpose, the purpose comes through living in faith, living by faith. And if you're living by faith, you do study Scripture to be obedient to the word, and that to when the works come in, it's an action. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we're saying the same thing.
I think so too.
Say it again.
Thank you.
No, I think we're saying the same thing. When you say it in terms of obedience is Christ, that the key is Christ. Being obedient,
right,
and not believing. See here, in this scripture, what Paul is saying is that there's two sides. There's the law, and then there is being justified by Christ. And the law here is the Mosaic law. And see, what they were doing is they were going by the Mosaic law. And through the Mosaic law, they were being obedient to the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. But they did not believe in terms of in Christ. There was that's what Paul is saying here, that we are justified by faith. See, the law, when Jesus Christ came, the veil was torn. And what I mean by the veil was torn was he came, he died for our sin. See, and under the Mosaic law, we would as Gentiles would not be able to follow all of those laws and consider ourselves saved. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with what I'm saying about the Mosaic law, when it starts talking about the Mosaic, what Moses put those into the law? We live by the law, but we are justified by Christ, because the law, we can't follow directly the law, so therefore we fall into a category of falling short from where we're supposed to be, because not being able to follow the law. Does that make sense? So that's why Christ came, because we are all sinners. It doesn't make a difference how good we are or what we do. We are still sinners. We're still going to make mistakes. The only perfect example that we have is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, this death on the cross, was for our sin, because we could not follow the law. Am I making myself clear?
You know, the apple.
Hello?
I think he's still there.
I'm here.
You know, the Amplified Bible makes it just as clear, too. You know, 16, but we're in 17. But 16 says, yet we know that a man is justified or reckoned righteous and in right standing with God, not by works of the law, but only through faith and absolute reliance on and adherence to and trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Therefore, even we ourselves have believed on Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For we cannot be justified by any observance of the ritual of the law given by Moses, because by keeping legal rituals and by works, no human being can ever justify, declared righteous, and put in right standing with God. Mm-mm-mm. No human being without Christ, we can't. The law just came, so it was like they said, it was like a school teacher for us, for those that wasn't in Christ. But when Christ came, he fulfilled the law, but we are justified by him coming. We are justified because of our faith in him, not of the law, but of him. Yes, and then it goes on to say, but if in our desire and endeavor to be justified in Christ, to be declared righteous and put in right standing with God, wholly and solely through Christ, we have shown ourselves sinners also and convicted of sin, does not make Christ a minister, a party, or a contributor of our sin. Banish the thought. Of course not. And that's where in the King James Version it says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. We ourselves are justified, found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? And he said, God forbid. Christ isn't the minister of the sin. He came that we would be free from sin, so that we'd be justified through him before God. If I'm making myself clear, I'm finished, Elder Clay. You can continue. But I thought maybe the amplifier would shed a little bit more light on it, because what's good about this subject is we can't just live any old kind of way. That's the bottom line. We can't give a six and make it a nine. We have to make a six, and a nine, a nine. Because, you know, that six and that nine could be flipped anywhere, any time. That six can be flipped and look like a nine. But we have to live righteously in faith in Christ.
You know, my brother, and I want to mention to you, I thank you for speaking up and speaking out, because we don't get on here to argue, but we try to communicate so that a point is made clear. So I thank you for asking that question, and if it still does not make sense to you, I mean, that's okay, because that's what we're here for. This is a Bible study, a discussion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what this whole part, that's what this whole discussion, you know, is about. Paul here says, you know, it says that we stated that we that through the law that he died to the law. And see what happens in the Mosaic law? What happens with the Mosaic law, that if you broke the law, do you know what happened?
Say it again.
You would be dead.
If you broke a law, what do you remember what happened? If you broke a law during that time,
death.
The penalty was death.
Right.
The penalty was death. So during that time, under the Mosaic law, if anyone broke any one of those laws, the penalty was death. And so under the Mosaic law, and what Paul was saying that through the law that he died for our sins to the law, because Jesus Christ knew that we could not follow the Mosaic law. So we live by the Mosaic law, but we have been justified by Christ. That was his whole purpose of dying, is because we are all sinners. No one is perfect. The only one that's perfect is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
And also, Mosaic, you can live by Mosaic law, which people live by. And anyway, we were relieved of Mosaic law and by Christ. And so we then became Christians by his sacrifice, and we started following Christians. And ultimately, we were relieved of the Mosaic law, and we are now Christians, and we follow Christ and have faith in him. But you could follow all those laws, Mosaic laws, and perceive yourself to be perfect, but you're still a sinner. But even now, following Christian doctrine, in that Jesus Christ gave his life for us, and accepting that, we're on a new journey. We're now Christians. And thus we have faith in Christ, and we're accepting the gift he gave us, and that was his life, which was the price for our sins. And we still have to constantly stay sharp with the word by having Bible study, going to church, fellowship with the correct people, staying in fellowship with God and Christ, and following that example. But we're not perfect beings. The only perfect being was Jesus Christ. But he came to earth to pay the price of man's sin. That's how we got relieved of the Mosaic law.
As we go on, it says, he died to the law.
Did you do 18?
He died to the law. Time?
No, I wanted to know 18? If you 18. Already.
For if we build, just for 18, if we build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For though the law, I am dead to the law, that I may live to God.
Right.
I'm dead to the law, that I may live to God. And meaning that he died to the law. And then he was crucified. Paul is saying that I was crucified with Christ. So, because he was crucified, he was able to live for God. It goes on even to say here, in 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. I live no longer, but Christ lives in me, that life that I now live is in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered up himself to me. So it is I who live, meaning that it explains that believers have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ and into the church and into the body of all true believers. So when Christ died, he says, I'm leaving, but I'm dying for you,
He paid for our sins because we could not follow all of the laws that we were. We should have died. And Christ knew that we could not follow the law. That's why he gave us his life, so that we might live. And he says that I'm going to a place, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is what we are baptized with. That Holy Spirit is what we are baptized with. And it goes on to say even further, it says, it is I no longer live, but Christ that lives in me. It is I that no longer, we have been crucified in the flesh. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And what Paul is saying here is I've been crucified. I have been crucified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within me, so Christ is who lives within me. That's the Holy Spirit. Any comments? Crucified with Christ. So what this did, it brought death to law. It brought it to law. So things, I no longer live. The self-righteousness, the self-centered part of me no longer lives. But it's I who live in Christ. Christ lives within me, and I live with him. And that's through the Holy Spirit. We are able to function not on our own accord, but we live according to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what leads and guides each and every one of us. And that's what Paul was saying, is I've been crucified in the flesh. I've been crucified in the flesh. For the good I do, evil is always present. So in the flesh, we're always wanting to do good. In the flesh, we're always wanting to do good. But because of our sinful nature, that we're always going to be tested. We're always going to be tested. It might be something we say. It might be something we're thinking. It might be something that we may do. But we're always going to be tested. So when we have been crucified in the flesh, that means we're trying to become more like Christ. We're trying to become better. We're trying to become better. We're trying to become more like Christ by being crucified in the flesh. We make errors. We're going to make mistakes. And that's what Paul is saying here. How can we judge another person when we all fall short from the glory of God? We all fall short. I know I make mistakes. And day by day I pray. Day by day I try to do good things. I try to do good works. Day by day. But I know that I cannot do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? When I make a mistake, I go to God and say, God, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my sins. I'm a sinner. I messed up again. And here, where the Jews felt that they were better than the Gentiles. They felt they were better than the Gentiles.
Because they were following Mosaic law. They put themselves on the pedestal as opposed to following Christ. Christ relieved us of Mosaic law.
Remember, Paul was a Jew.
So when he was testing this, he was testing because he was actually a Jew, and he was talking to Peter at that time. It is no longer I who live. When it says I who live, we're talking about the flesh. It is no longer I who live. We're talking about the flesh in us. But Christ who lives in me. The
that
Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That mindset. Mm-hmm.
If you say, if somebody tells you that they do no wrong, that something's wrong with them. If somebody tells you that they are perfect, then something is wrong with them. If somebody tells you that they are not a sinner, then something is wrong with them.
Amen.
That's why the word says, for we all sin and fall short from the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that's why it's important to stay close to the Word. And that's why I said the Word is a lamp unto our feet. A lamp, what is a lamp? In automatic terms, a lamp means something that helps me to see. A lamp unto our feet. How come it's a lamp unto my feet? A lamp to me helps me see with my eye. Think about it. When we think about a lamp, we use our eyes to see. But it says, a lamp unto my feet. So that means that it's a guide for our journey, for our walk. A light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. It's a journey to help us to walk the path that Christ wants us to walk. That's what the Word does. Or otherwise, it's too easy to get lost. I guarantee you, you can live in a house for 20 years, and if all the power goes out and you try to get around that house, I guarantee you, even though that you know that house just that well, you're going to be walking around feeling your way, touching walls and touching things, trying to feel your way around that house. You're not going to be able to walk through it like you normally walk through it without any light.
That's right.
Any comments? My brother, I'd like to hear from you. Any comments? Are you still on the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about what you were saying. There is none righteous, and we're not righteous of our own selves. But like I said before, it's Christ that makes us righteous. And there's no one that is perfect. And what I thank God for is that when I do wrong, I'm not even talking outwardly, because our minds can be killing somebody, and through our very thoughts. But where the grace comes in at is that when God sees us, He sees the blood of Jesus, and that's mm-hmm. what keeps us from those things that, like the Israelites. I mean, a lot of them, you know, thousands fell in one day, but because of Christ. This is why we have not just a second chance, but many chances mm-hmm. over and over, and that's because of God's goodness and loving kindness, His long suffering. But we shouldn't even take that for granted. But we thank God mm-hmm. for the blood of Jesus, that when He Amen. Sees Edna, He just doesn't see Edna. He sees the blood that marks Edna's life first.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And because of that blood that marks Edna's life, when Edna is in error, He says, oh, my daughter, and I will repent, and he'll be merciful. But I thank God for this lesson, because when you were talking about the law and whatnot, that's how Paul lived. He lived under the law before Saul. His name was turned to Paul. He lived. That's why he says, I no longer, you know, I'm crucified. My thoughts, the way I thought even back then, I don't think that way no more. I don't look at things that way no more. So because of that, it's not me that lives, but Christ that lives in me.
Amen. Amen.
And that's
Amen.
What we all should be. That's how we all should be.
Amen. Amen.
By myself.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I can't walk this walk by myself, because if God was to leave me to Edna would consume her own self. But because of his goodness, we are not consumed. Because of his faithfulness and his goodness and his mercy, we're not consumed.
Could you, I'd like for you to think about this thought. Who we were before we came to Christ.
Yeah.
Who we were before we came to Christ.
My God.
See, when you think about it, we all, and I don't care who you are, when we think about it, and all the mistakes, I mean, we still make mistakes, but all the errors we made then before we came to Christ, and yet, by the grace of God, he still accepted us.
Yeah.
But imagine if we were held for our prior sins. Imagine. All the things that we did up to this point, if we were held accountable. And then you have to ask, would there be a penalty against you? And that's a personal question. Would there be a penalty against you? Would you have been able to survive the law without being penalized?
Right. Wow.
And that's what this is all about, being justified by faith. Being justified by faith. Are we declared righteous, or are we still condemned? And it's as simple as that. No one can make it under the law. That's why we're saved by faith. Faith in Christ. That's what it's all about. Saved by faith in Christ. And that's the key. The key word is faith in Christ. If you have faith in the world, if you have the faith in the world, that's a totally different story. That's a totally different ending. Go ahead. You just want to make a comment?
I was just going to say, it's not that we just don't throw out the law in itself, because there are the do's and the don'ts that God gives us. But because of Christ that came and fulfilled himself, he fulfilled the law. We still look at it. There are do's and don'ts. We should not kill. And, you know, killing is not just an outward action. You can kill somebody with your very thought. Because everything that we even think is written down. Everything about us is God. It's written down. Our very thoughts. That's why the word of God says, be ye transformed by the renewing,
of
your mind.
Amen. Amen.
So anyway,
amen.
To God glory.
Amen, 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 amen,
yeah.
Amen. If we look at Romans 7, and look at this, Romans 7, okay, it talks about living for God.
Yes.
Living for God, that is our whole purpose. We're living for God.
Mm-hmm.
Not for ourselves, but we're living for God.
Amen.
Any comments?
Amen. Amen. This was good.
Amen.
To God glory.
I'm gonna be honest with you. As I started off, it was a little confusing. Maybe I should have broke it down. And when I did, you know, if I do this another time, I think there's another direction I would probably go to make it clearer, because I think I was a little confusing. But, you know, I'm learning as I go along, you know, through this. I've been on their journey under some books all day, so I don't know if my mind is hitting all cylinders.
Oh, it's good, and this is why we have conversation. It's good,
mm-hmm.
because it opens up not
mm-hmm.
only thought, but conversation for the Holy Spirit to even come in and even guide us. Because that's what
yeah.
we need to even understand the Word of God. We need the
mm-hmm.
understanding.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And all
Holy Spirit,
get understanding. And I thank my brother for asking
yeah.
those vital questions. That's what it's all about. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're listening and you have questions and don't say anything, you know, we don't grow. We don't grow, and no one responds attacking. We learn. We all learn through this.
Right.
We all learn through this, and that's what it's all about. We're not here to attack. We're not here to judge, and it doesn't mean that what someone says, even if they're speaking, is right.
Mm-hmm.
When we need questions, we go right to the Word of God.
Everything that
we say has to be supported by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bible. That's biblical. That's Bible-based. And if it can't be substantiated by the Bible, then something's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Because it's no longer our opinion, my opinion,
amen.
Your opinion. It's,
amen.
There's only
that's,
one.
There are a lot of people that do that. There are a lot of people that do that. It becomes their own opinion. Their opinion.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible says. If you're confused about something, let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible says. This is easy as that.
Exactly.
The Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
It's also very important to have Bibles, I mean, fellowship and attend church, because you can read the Bible and it may have one meaning to you, but when you come together as more than one, in God's name, there's better interpretation and learning and growth, so you're on the right track. But anyway, God's Word, living Word.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to open up the mic with either one of you care to close us up in prayer. Anybody that's on the mic, would you like to close us up in prayer on the other end? Anybody
Amen.
That's on the mic?
Loving Father, we come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the opportunity for us to have our new beginnings, a Bible study that will help us grow, taking spiritual foods and spiritual exercise, that as a team we and able to spread God's the gospel of God's word. Blessed are those who are ill physically, spiritually, and thank you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen. 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 And I'd like to, again, as we go in closing in prayer, I'd like for you to keep up in prayer, Katrina Holloway, please do that corporately. I believe in prayer, and I believe that when we come together in prayer, things change.
Amen.
things change.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So I do believe in prayer. That's the only thing that I can go by is just by we coming together as a body of Christ and praying in unity. Amen?
Yeah.
There's strength in unity. Okay?
Yeah.
May God bless you. Until next week, remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
I face the dawn.